This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, After Buzzers. Tonight, we're talking everything The Chi. We're talking where the money at. We're talking Tracy and Ronnie together again. We're talking Big Reg and the Beatdown. All that coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. Hey. What's up, party people? I'm happy to be here. I'm your host, Erica Edwards, but I couldn't do it without my crew, the amazing Chef Beans.
Yes, 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 Chef Beans with the mental cuisine.
Thank you. No gas at all. Give it up for Kitty Kaboom.
What's up, baby?
And the lovely Lauren.
Hey, guys.
All right, you guys. This is season 2, episode 9. We're coming down to the finale. We're talking guilt, viral videos, excuse me, and ass whoopings. And stay till the end because we got news, special segment, and gossip, of course. Yes. So what do you guys feel overall about this episode? We'll start it how we always do.
Yeah. Overall, I was very excited with this episode. We're closing in. They're tying up a lot of loose ends. And, you know, unfortunately, with Jason Mitchell's release of the show, they're starting to tie in more characters to other ones. So we're kind of getting a little bit of how, you know, maybe they're going to be introducing bigger characters next season. I think.
That's what your take on it?
That's what my take is on.
Overall, I enjoyed it. I always enjoy it. I think it's a good show. I think it's pretty solid. I like the storylines. I like where it's going. And I like to see how they all kind of interact with each other. They're not standalone characters, you know what I mean? They all overlap somehow, like they all kind of know each other in some remote kind of way, and I like that. I like that they're able to fuel each other's storyline and make it more relatable.
Yeah, I think that this episode just had a lot of different conversations going on. I don't know, I'm kind of indifferent about it. I enjoyed it, but there were just so many different conversations. I really don't know where to start, but it was cool.
And I kind of agree with you, Chef Beans. We aren't the negative Nancy corner or anything. But but yeah, there was actually a lot of different storylines going on that kind of played in together and some didn't. But it was still cool. I think it was interesting to see a little bit of everyone. Except, yeah, so I'm kind of wondering. Well, I guess Tiffany Boone will be back next week. But I was like, every time you don't see Jericho, it does have you wonder.
It does, right? That's what, didn't I say that? I'm like, where the heck is Jericho?
It does make you think. Things that make you go, All right, so we're going to take it from the top. Let's start with Ronnie, because I think he really didn't have that much going on this episode. But so we can get through him pretty quickly. So Tracy is back.
No.
And she scoops him from jail. How do you guys What do you guys feel about him going back to Old Faithful?
I didn't think it was a go-back situation. I think that he just called on an old friend. They have so much history together. He told her about the fact that he was seeing the other woman and that he wants to be romantically involved with her. I thought that was pretty upstanding of him. I'm surprised to hear him do it. And I don't know. I'd like that she was there for him. She was absolutely right. He's held her down many a day, and it was nice to be able to return the favor. But I didn't see any, like, sparks flying or her being like, so you coming over later? Like, it just seemed like she was just being a good friend.
I saw a little reaction from her after he said that he messed with someone. Yeah. It was, like, some type of emotion.
Tinge.
Yeah, a little bit like, oh, okay.
Not enough that she was, like, mad about it or anything, though.
It was just kind of like, okay, like,
she was just a little surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I feel like it was a friend. You know, you've been there for me so many times. Let me be here for you. You know, it was a nice hug, mm-hmm. nothing sexual. But I did catch that little facial reaction. I think she may have just been surprised he moved on because he has been in love with her for so long.
Right.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I certainly, see, I don't know, like, I kind of feel like you do. Like, when somebody's always been sweating you forever and you think they moved on, that's when your interest sparks. Right. I mean, that's just...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What I think. So she was probably like, oh, okay.
But so I'm not the only one.
No, you're not. And then even in the preview for next week.
I was going to say the previews did.
You know, did have it kind of, you know, she's going to make her little way, make herself known. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that it was really cool that she was finally there for him. And what's interesting is, I guess I want to get your perspective on when she was like, well, you know what you got to do. I was like, what crazy shit does she have him doing this time? But I was, like, surprised when he showed up at AA. I was like, wow, maybe Tracy's trying to grow up a little bit herself. What did you guys think on? Did you all think she was saying AA when she was like, you know what you need to do?
I had no idea.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I did. Surprisingly, I did because I'm thinking, what else is he going to do? Like, what can he right. possibly do? And the first thing that came to my mind was AA, too. Right. So when I... obviously didn't know for sure until I saw him there. And I was like, good for her. I felt that way too. I was like, she's finally getting her life together. You know, we saw her. She looked very well presented. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yes, you had time to self-reflect and get yourself together. Now maybe you can help him get himself together.
Yeah, it's always good if you have someone that's giving you some solid advice. If it's coming from somebody that has their own shit together, then obviously it's easier for you to take that advice and not look out down your nose like, well, you ain't doing nothing. Because last time we saw her, she was a mess. So she looks presentable. She looks like she's taking care of herself. And hopefully she's doing some self-care, too, that has her feeling, you know, that's why she encouraged him to do that. It did surprise me, though. I didn't see that coming, which was dope. It was super good.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either because it created this type of mystique because the last time she said, you know what you got to do.
Exactly.
He caught a body.
Right. Oh,
exactly.
What he got to do now?
Please don't tell me he's going to go after Jason's baby mom. Like, what's happening?
Exactly.
Now, my mind went a million to one places.
Me too. And that's, like, I have the picture here of when she's like, you know what you need to do. So that's the picture, the first picture that I clipped from the show, from the episode. And yeah, exactly. That was my thing. Because I was like, especially after she just told him how Shantae had been pushing her away mm-hmm. as well. So I was like, okay, did she fall down some dark spiral too? Is she going to come up with some crazy kidnap plot or something? But... luckily, Tracy was very mature, you know, so she might just try to, you know, use what she got to get what she want, but she's not gonna, you know, she's not sending him down a dark path like she has in the past, which I really like and respect. I think she's kind of getting it together a little bit, so.
But he didn't go in. He didn't go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he went.
Yeah.
So hopefully next show we'll see him actually make an appearance, but I don't know, the willingness was there to make it to the door, I guess. Baby steps, who knows.
Ronnie was stressing me out this whole episode, I'm not gonna lie. It was hard
this whole season
to watch him just really pissed me off a lot
because he fell through, because he didn't follow through
with
his good stuff.
Wagon.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
It was like,
but I mean, that's real life, you know?
But what pushed him over, remember?
What pushed him over, definitely.
That was just
definitely.
Like, really?
Yeah,
that's what did it.
Yeah, he was doing so good, bro.
Yeah,
he almost walked into, got some cheeks like and everything, but just didn't happen.
No,
Exactly, exactly. 2 hours too long babysitting can throw you under a bus if you don't do it right. So, yeah. So we'll see where Ronnie ends up next week. That should be interesting what they do with him. So let's move on to Kev and the kids.
Love the kids.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have a really, their storylines have always been sort of cute, but actually kind of really interesting and developed. So Kevin gets busted with drugs, and this is how how his mom finds out also about the Northside School. How do you guys feel about Kevin not snitching on Jake? What are your thoughts?
I'm not surprised. I mean, that's pretty much who he is. He's a stand-up guy, you know, so I didn't see him, even whatever he and Jake go through, I don't see him ever snitching on his friend. I was surprised that he made the move to sell, and I hate that we keep calling him drugs. It's a plant, but whatever. It's not for children. So it kind of surprised me that he went through with actually making those sales, I guess being encouraged a little bit by the his new friend. But yeah, I didn't expect him to actually do anything, and I definitely didn't expect him to snitch. He's not a snitch. He's a stand-up dude.
Well, we knew he wasn't a snitch because he didn't snitch in the cafeteria fight. So exactly. I was not surprised as well either.
Mm-hmm. But the thing with that is, Kevin has so much stability in his household, yeah. But you can kind of tell that he's still trying to maintain some type of edge. Like, I ain't snitch on you and different things like that. Even mm-hmm. Brandon was talking about it later. Like, you don't have to live this life that right. you're trying to portray, but you could just tell he was just at a crossroad between, okay, am I going to be this stand-up guy and have this integrity, or am I going to have the integrity with my boy and maintain our trust? I don't know.
Yeah. He's at that age.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see also not just integrity, but the opportunity to go to the school and do better than his friends. And he's really torn. And initially, he is like, no, I'm not going to do it. And he, you know, really fights back with his mom. And then we see Brandon come in and kind of really give him a real talking to about, you know, your friends will always be here and you're selling out. How did you guys feel about, and that's the next picture we have as well, about the talk between kind of Brandon schooling him about, you know, getting out? Let's start with Lauren and take it around.
I felt like that was another amazing moment of him being a big brother to him. I don't want to say father figure, but someone to look up to. You know, obviously, Brandon has lived this life. He's been through it. And like Chef Bean said, you know, he's like, why would you want to be in this position? When I was a kid, I would die to have your life. So I just thought it was really good to hear. And he'll definitely listen to Brandon way more than his mom. So I liked that moment.
I love their relationship together. I love it. I think it's so poignant and it's so easy. It's so carefree. It's not forced. It's not intentional with the sense of anybody playing a role. Like, I don't see Brandon coming in there like, let me school this brother on what needs to be done. It's nothing like that. Like, it's literally a friendship that obviously lends itself to him being older, so he has a little bit more experience in the game. But I love them together. You know what I mean? There's an ease and a flow there that's just very genuine.
Yeah, I really appreciated this scene for a combination of reasons. That I guess that not necessarily masculine energy, but you could tell Brandon and him have just developed this like brotherhood that right. they've both been lacking. Brandon losing his brother and Kev just growing up in his house with all women.
Right.
You know, it's,
right.
that's why Brandon was the first one to reach out to, because he feels safe in his presence to just be vulnerable.
Very true. Very true. Now, what was fun about this episode was Big Papa. I love him. He's such a cutie pie, and he's just such a cool character and so positive, I think, given his surroundings and given everything. So he tries to get the girls together to kind of stage a protest. So how did you guys feel about his speech? Where the money at?
I love that it went viral for something good for a change, right? Because Papa always has some type of harebrained scheme that he's trying to create. So I love that he went viral for all the right reasons. I love that the teachers listened and paid attention. They actually did something about it. It's always a good look when it comes to the kids. Their storylines always seem to like come back around full circle, except when it gets super dark with Jake and Reggie. But that's, you know, yeah. story for another day. I thought it was was dope.
I liked it too because it was comical.
Yeah.
He did the mic drop. And he also put some factual evidence in there saying Chance the Rapper donated to, you know, the Chicago school. So where the money at?
Where the money
so
at?
So I liked that part too. And then they had the girls kind of in the background being like the little backup singer. Right. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, I'll put some new cute little faces
it
in there.
It was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was very powerful. And it just... It's telling how aware these the youth is. Like, they pay attention. Right. How are they pulling up on this bus and we have this bus? Why are we eating this lunch and they're eating that lunch? And even when it comes down to textbooks and things like that, even though a lot of times the student's voice isn't powerful with these different teacher meetings, I think Big Papa stepping up and voicing how a lot of the students actually feel was just very powerful and calculated how they just produced this whole scene. I don't know. It made my heart smile because this conversation needs to be had throughout the country.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's bigger than just what was portrayed in this episode. Like, where's the money at?
Right.
All these these marginalized communities, people donating. Why don't we have anything to show for it?
Exactly.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. And it is definitely something to think about as far as schooling and, you know, and it was light. It was sweet. They got through it quick. So I thought it was really a positive moment that Big Papa gave us. So, Chef Beans, let me ask you this. How did you feel about Kevin dissing Maisha to be cool with his friends? Just like Brandon said, you can let them choose your girl, choose your school, choose your life. You know, would you diss a sweet, young girl like me?
Ambitious.
Thank you.
In Kevin's age, absolutely.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Because you have your boys who you're around all day, and then you're still trying to find yourself. So that romantic world isn't as important as going to play games with your boys at home. So I can see Kev doing that 10 out of 10. It just sucks that she actually heard it. And yeah, it's just unfortunate. Now, the Chef Beans I am today, absolutely not. I would never. But Chef Beans back in middle school, 100%.
All right. Well, yeah, that scene was tough because even...
It crushed her.
Yeah, it crushed her. And then even... It was so funny because even though they were making all those jokes, Jake and Big Papa were like, dang, Kev, that was, like, really mean. And it was really mean. It was, like, a little bit too much.
But this is back to Kevin's personality, how he wants to... You know, put
he
on
cares
this
what everyone
facade.
Thinks.
Like, I care what everybody's saying. Nah, that's not me. This is how I actually feel.
Or, right.
You know? But Kevin is very talented. It's just he's not really embracing it the way that he should embrace it.
Exactly. And I think it kind of was just another example of the point Brandon was making as far as him being different and still letting his friends kind of run everything and run his life a little bit more than they probably should.
But at that age, that's where we are, right? Our friends become our parents. They become our role models. We don't look to other people to guide us because these are the people that we emulate and we almost... We put them in a special place in our lives the same way that they do us. Like, we hold them down. There's a loyalty that exists there that you just don't find anywhere else.
There's a loyalty, but I feel like Big Papa doesn't let Jake and Kevin punk him.
Oh,
and Jake doesn't let Kevin and Big Papa punk him either. And Kevin is the only one, I think anyway, in my opinion, in that group that seems to need their acceptance while the other two kind of are like...
They're comfortable.
Take me like, they're comfortable with where they're at. And maybe Kevin is between two worlds. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so hard for him because he wants to be accepted here, but he wants to do with his mom, you know, do right by his family. But it is an interesting dynamic, I think, between those three in particular.
What? Can I just say something?
Go ahead.
I think they both just have that male dominance in their lives, though, as far as Jake and Big Papa.
Mm-hmm. True.
Big
very
Papa,
true.
Dad, you know, don't play that. We saw that multiple times. And then Jake has his older brother. So here you have Kev still trying to, I believe, just define himself because he hasn't really seen that male powerful influence up close.
That's true. Well, before we move on to the next topic, Lauren has something to tell you guys.
Yes, I do. But before I tell you guys, this is a question that hasn't been answered in the last two episodes. Jake took the weed from his brother,
right?
And his brother was like, "Did you sell it?" He said, "No." So, I mean, now it's confiscated. What's going to happen?
It's just weed. It's not like it's like I don't think it's going to be a huge.
You don't think it's going to be?
No, because it was like maybe 5-10 bags as opposed to like weight. You know what I mean? It's not like you're pushing coke.
Okay.
And I don't mean to minimize it. Maybe there would be consequences, but I don't see that being major.
Okay.
And did Kevin get any money? Because I know Malcolm gave Kevin at least $45 for what he had when he was there anyway. Right. So he probably got
He probably got some money.
Okay. But,
and you got to tell us what the people are saying once you finish with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So before we move to our next topic, I just want to take a moment to thank, we all would like to take a moment to thank everyone for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV Talk. We could not be here without you guys, so we truly appreciate your support. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe. Make sure you send the link to your friends and family. If you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you give us 5-star ratings and download the podcast. And just please continue to watch us every week and all of our other shows, because no matter what show we're on, like I said, we thank you guys so much for making AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV Talk.
Thank you, guys. And give us a thumbs up if you're here watching, because you're already here anyway. Why not?
Like, no, seriously, do it right now. Thumbs up.
That's all right. Up. Are they saying anything fun and exciting other than that we were late? What else are they saying today?
Yes, little fettuccine 69. Do you think Sunny will help Brandon get out of his mess with Duda? Maybe we can get Sunny and Brandon working together for Sunny's second location.
Nice. That's a good prediction.
And then he also wants the recipes from Brandon's food truck released.
Hilarious. That would be a smart little move for them to do.
That's what I'm saying. That was, yes, Jason, since you're no longer working, give us the secrets. Okay.
Shade.
I'm not even being shady. I'm just saying.
That is shady.
Make your money. I'm looking out for you.
Oh, right.
Make your money, man. You know, make it look. Whatever. I'll watch your YouTube cooking channel for sure. All right. Let's move on to Emmett, you guys.
My boy.
Emmett. What a cutie.
Yes. Emmett has a lot going on this episode, which was really interesting. So Emmett, first we see Emmett taking over as the manager of Sonny's place. So Sonny is back in the swing of things.
He is a grown-ass man.
Yes. Emmett is doing the most with the mild sauce. I loved that. So it was really cool to see him as the manager. Although it was interesting because I was like, you know, it's still like a carryout place. You don't actually have to seat them. I mean, but great. But we love
that
you.
Was good.
We love
you.
Taking
his role very seriously.
Taking the initiative. Yeah.
Yeah. If someone handed me sauce in Harold's eye. Anyway, it's great. We're great to see that. Emmett, we love you. So it's interesting when Emmett sees the coach again with a new girl. How did you guys feel Emmett handled that particular?
I thought that was so grown of him. I really did. I thought very mature. Instead of just blurting it out, instead of making it a thing, he simmered in his anger. He didn't let it rock. He said one little smart thing, which was only in retribution or in response to homeboy saying something smart to him initially, calling him little man and all that. Like, don't minimize my life because you are an asshole. You know what I mean? Right. I liked it. He didn't come and ball up on him. He just said his piece and then he strategically planned what he was going to do. I thought that was pretty mature.
Yeah. I thought he handled it very well too. But then again, the coach doesn't know that Emmett knows Keisha.
Right.
So, you know, there was no need to put himself in that situation anyways. But I guess I'm still trying to figure out what kind of high school track coach are you to be stunting on him? Like, I mean, no offense to high school track coaches, but like, you know, you're going to need this work in this job. Like, how much are you making? You know what I mean? Like,
who do you think you are?
Who are you teaching? But I mean, like, back to your question, yes, he could have went off. He could have told the girl, run, he's a pedophile. Mm-hmm. But instead he was like, no, let me handle it.
I thought this scene was gross. I thought it was gross because, though, you know, they're acting, of course, it's just disgusting how, you know, how much PTA was going on. And to think that this girl is actually 16 and this dude is like 30, I don't know. I just really put myself in the scene, just being like, I didn't really rock with it. But I like how Emmett handled it because he was very passive, you know, with the PS or no, that's for kids. And it seems like you're into that. You could tell he had a lot of those triggers to where boy tried to backpedal a little bit. I don't know. Emmett handled it the way, I don't know how else he could have handled it better without, you know, being a snitch.
Right. Right. Exactly. Because Sonny tried to call the police, but did not. And so Emmett turned to Brandon. He's like, okay, you know, still trying to come up with his ideas. Now, I'm not clear, and that's the next picture that I have, why Brandon thought it was such a good idea to go to Reggie. That seemed crazy to me.
That did seem out of place.
You know, Lauren, what did you think? We'll start with you. What did you think about that?
My mind. I was like, why? When I saw him pop up in that scene, I was like, all right, you're getting roped into 63rd Mob. Like, why are you bringing him into this?
He's comfortable now.
Yeah, and then Emmett is... The only drama Emmett has going on is with his baby mamas. He doesn't have any outside drama in his life. And I'm like, now you're going to make him owe Reggie a favor. And that to me, I was like, all right, now everyone's getting roped in and Brandon is just going to bring them down. Because when Sonny finds out, that's going to affect his business. So I was very disappointed that Brandon went that route. I felt like they definitely could have found a different way to solve the problem at hand. But I was just like, okay, this is no good. This is a bad decision.
Yeah, I didn't think it was dope that he brought him in either. I think he's just way too comfortable now. You know, he thought, I got to help my friend. What resources do I have? And the fact that homeboy is right there at his disposal when Mr. Perry has made it very obvious, listen, you in the gang, whether you like it or not. He probably was like, well, F, I'm here. You know what I mean? I might as well see what favors I can call on. And then I thought it was kind of pathetic at the very end. He was like, see how nice it is? Or whatever Reggie said, smart to him, like basically like, you know, finally you're getting it. You're coming around. And he was like, man, I ain't messing with y'all. Like, that was so weak. Yeah, clearly you are messing with them because you done called him in like he's the Calvary. Right. So you do have some faith in him.
Beans, what do you think?
I definitely feel like he contradicted himself because you see he tried to take a step away from 63rd, but this decision just spoke otherwise. But at the same time, I don't know, I did enjoy seeing the coach get beat up. so I'm kind of like against the fence with that. I didn't really, you know, think that was a wise decision, but at the same time, I guess Brandon's trying to dance now. He's trying to figure it out, and he just did a very impulsive move as far as reaching out to Reggie.
Well, yeah, but then I also feel like, you know, back before when there was the issue with the gun and everything, that's how Reggie first came into his life to begin with, was owing Reggie a favor. So I'm kind of like, exactly like Lauren, like now you're pulling Emmett into this because this is the same. This is how we got started, them coming up and eating at the truck for free. Now they're going to be coming up and eating at Sonny's for free. True. And that's all how it started before. And it's like, and Brandon, and you already know where it led you. So that part is kind of crazy. I mean, I know you don't want to call the police or maybe tell her mother or whatever, but I don't even know. Like, he deserved a beating. I've obviously thought this whole storyline was really disgusting. However, they beat him down really bad and stole his car. That's the next picture that I have for you. so that one's the next one is him getting beat up.
Yeah, I thought the stealing the car part was wrong. I was like, all right, y'all already beat him up and now you're going to steal his car. And then, I don't know if y'all noticed, but there was some type of truck behind them, some type of handy truck, and I'm sure he saw the license plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he called the police.
Yeah, you know, that's them beating him down. And so, yeah, so now this is going to be a big thing. I mean, it did work, obviously, to break him up with Keisha or whatever, but... This isn't...
It's about to be a thing. It's not going to be over.
Yeah, it's not going to just
He's
going to
retaliate
over.
In some way. He loved that car. Are you kidding me? Really. That was just adding insult to injury. But that's how they do. Come on now. They're a gang. They're not just going to do enough. They're going to do the most.
Very true. Very true. But we do end up Emmett... Well, not end up, but we... So Emmett has a nice little dinner. And that's
that
the next
so
pick that I have. Emmett and Keisha and their dinner together.
I loved it.
And I loved that. I loved the Nikes that he got her. Yes. I mean, I liked their sort of budding relationship. And it was so cute. And of course, it's only going to be demolished by Tiffany being pregnant again. So
not necessarily.
Yes. Shout out to our predictions. But what do you guys feel about the big pregnancy?
I think
after this moment, I was just like, perfect writing. Perfect.
I think they're going to end the pregnancy together. I think they're going to collectively decide this is not what we want to do.
Well, I know this. I don't say I know this, but some people might think I'm wrong for this, but I'm wondering, is it even Emmett's baby? You know what I mean?
Right, I thought that as well.
That's the first question that popped up.
She was with someone before Emmett, and I don't know
who
what
knows
the timeline.
Who she's been
who knows what she's been with after, because it's been a few episodes since.
Right.
So I'm just like, all right, like, y'all had sex once. I mean, all it takes is one time.
Right.
But still, that could be anybody's baby. And then now that since she got that new check that looked real good, I don't necessarily think she's just messing with him. She definitely could be pregnant, but she's just turning to him like, Now I'm pregnant.
So you don't think it's his?
I'm not saying I don't think it's his. I'm just saying, I don't know if it's his. And if it is...
The question needs to be asked.
Yeah, if it is, then I think they might decide it's not best for him to have another.
I hope
Can you imagine him
that.
With four kids?
Four kids? Are you kidding me?
I feel horrible for him if it's his kid.
He's a child
himself. I can imagine him having another kid. Mm. But at the same time, automatically, I would see, like, okay, we haven't been with each other consistently. Like,
right.
I'm not... I need to make sure this baby is mine. Like, I'm not even going to play these games.
Mm.
Like, instantly. What? Talking about, I wouldn't even have reacted like, "Oh my gosh!" I'm like, "Is it mine?" Like, who would you be like, Trey Face?
Exactly. I mean, I get that he wants to challenge her, but then I also feel like he might be in an uncomfortable position because he did this before. That's what he said off the top with the first baby. Oh, it's got to get tested. Got to get tested, and it came back as his. Mm-hmm. So now that he's finally halfway in a groove with her, it'll be interesting to see if he has the nerve to be like, "Well, nah, this one got to get tested too," because that's kind of like. That'll be interesting. I mean, I agree. Clearly, she was seeing other people, but clearly, they kind of have, for once, come to a sort of cool place. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So let's move on to the criminal case and sort of Brandon, Cruz, Toussaint, all of those characters right up in here. So Toussaint, you know, a couple different things happened this episode. But what was interesting in the next picture that I have is of Toussaint getting a, I think it was a stewed chicken taco, I believe.
Right.
And from Brandon's truck. And it was so interesting. I was kind of surprised that all it took was good tacos to convince her. But what do you guys think about her quick turnaround in her opinion of Brandon?
Well, I don't necessarily think it was just the tacos. Yeah, I think it was her interaction with him. Yeah. But whenever she told Cruz, Detective Cruz, let me do you one better. He's actually a respectable man, but I'm still not going to back down. I was like, seriously? I mean, her reasoning is well, because she saw the gang-related activity outside. But the fact that she still wants to go for him, I guess, is kind of what bothers me, because she sees he really is a stand-up guy. He's trying to make tacos. He just got caught up, unfortunately. I mean, she doesn't know that. But even Cruz is telling her, like, lay off. He's not... But she wants what she wants, so.
She's persistent.
Yeah, she's very persistent, but she loves her job. She's good at what she does. She's serious about her job. She doesn't cut corners. She's thorough with everything, and she has good reason. Like you said, her reasoning behind, or her justification behind going to talk to him makes sense. And the fact that she wasn't going back down after having spoke to him. Yes, he is a good guy. Yes, he seems like he's a straight up character. I mean, a straight up kind of dude. And I hope that he is not involved in any of this. But the facts are the facts. And they point to this, that, and the third. So something got to give. You know what I mean? I don't want to persecute somebody that doesn't deserve to be persecuted. But at the same time, I can't not do my job. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that she would continue to follow up on it. And the good news is, at least she gave him the benefit of the doubt. She could have formed her opinion based on nothing but hearsay and just being on the outside looking in. At least she went in and, like, talked to him for a second and was like, let me size this brother up and see what he's talking about.
No, I mean, y'all took the words right out of my mouth. She's very persistent. She's good at her job. And I feel like she's even still taking certain things personal with her son in juvie.
That was kind of like,
wow. Even my son is in the system right now. So y'all think I'm going to take it lighter on y'all too? Right. She's just trying to, you know, crack this case. But at the same time, you can tell there's more. I don't know if her son is in cahoots with 63. Oh, what? Like, I just don't know. But you could just.
You think? It's multi-layered with her.
It's just very multi-layered. Yeah. So just how Cruz, you know, we found out what happened to him in Kansas. Yeah. I feel like there's more to Toussaint as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That we haven't been privy to yet.
For sure. For sure. And it's interesting. So we see Cruz and Toussaint kind of make the connection between the real estate people and the gang. So, you know, who are you rooming with while you're in prison? That could, if you room with Big Pimpin'. So
they put that together very well.
Yeah. But I mean, she does have a bullet through her head. So, I mean, where else would that? So white woman in the hood that with the bullet in her head. How'd she get there? What was her motive in being there? Who did this to her? Like, that was kind of A, B, and C. They didn't have to flesh it out too hard. Where else would she be there?
Well, no, not just that, but no, also I mean, like the gang cell members, right?
The cellmate.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
It was very fast.
Yeah, like exactly. when they go to his funeral, all of that kind of came together
exactly
quickly because yeah. you know we're getting down.
We got
to,
one episode.
Exactly,
right.
We're getting down to the close.
We gotta make it fast.
So they're tightening the noose around everybody. So finally, Toussaint goes to see Duda. Or Perry, I guess, since he's at the pizza place. And and they have a little interesting sort of...
A little tete-a-tete.
Yes. This is an interesting back and forth between the criminal and the cop. Mm-hmm. So, Chef Beans, we'll start with you. How did you feel about how Perry kind of managed her?
So, Perry basically told her, you know, like, this is my community. This is where I'm from. But at the same time... I'm not going to act like I don't have power as well. Like, mm-hmm. I get, like, you're in law enforcement, but we're just two different gangs. So he basically, I feel like he flexed on her, and at the same time, he has some stuff up his sleeve, which we were exposed to a little later. It was just kind of like, don't get this messed up.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I think he tried to present himself in such a way that, listen, I'm a businessman. I don't know what the accusations you're trying to hold over my head, young lady. Maybe you've been misinformed. And then as soon as she pulled that card and was right, it was like, what about this? Oh, yeah, well, what about that? I don't think so, brother. Then he was like, basically like, oh, you did your homework. Oh, you not just wanted to just, you know what I mean? You serious about this thing. Well, let me let you know something. I'm serious about my business, too. And I'm going to maintain that I'm a businessman. But you push too hard and you will get pushed back.
It's kind of like he flipped his hat around.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, so like, I got to fit it on.
So you
want to pretend.
But now you got Duda. And
exactly.
Duda's here.
Duda has arrived. Let me show you.
Well, you know what I thought was interesting? I completely agree with what both of you said. But... I mean, it's so interesting to see how she interacts with Perry and how she interacts with everyone else. Everyone else is like, she's the badass. She's the one in charge. Mm-hmm. He kind of controlled the situation there.
Right. Yeah, but she didn't back down, though.
She didn't back down, but he shut her down. Right. Like, at the end of the day, he shut her down. She didn't get shut down by anyone else. You know what I mean? When she did the raid, they punched the guy in the face. She let Reggie know, I'm locking your boys up, you know?
Right.
But for him, she couldn't do anything.
Well,
she just had to, like, kind of tuck her tail in between her legs and walk out, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that was kind of the point I was making, that he was clearly the one in control, really, of that
yeah.
conversation, and was really the one making the power moves. I mean, he didn't admit anything, but he was certainly like, are you ready, you know?
Yeah.
And so that brings us to the close, really. And that's the very last picture that I have, is of her...
Can I answer a question really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So someone in the comments or the chat is saying, I don't, J.L. O'Brien, mm-hmm. I don't understand how the white lady was working for the OG 63rd, but got shot in the head. So I don't know if you remember, I don't know if it was two episodes back, but they said, Toussaint wants a fish, we'll give her one. So they kind of were like giving her the white lady, is that what y'all got from it or no?
Well, I would say that we don't know the answer to your question yet. I think that the white woman was, she worked at the real estate company, which clearly one of the owners is a member of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
So as an employee, she probably stepped out of line, as I think why she got taken out, in my opinion. But I don't think they've shown us why they killed her, because clearly...
What the correlation is
between
the two.
Clearly she works in the business that they own and that they're using to take over the South Side.
I think she got a little too ambitious.
So yeah, we don't know why she wasn't opposed to them, to answer your question. So far, and what they've shown us, she was kind of working with them, but you know.
But not unbeknownst to herself. Do you know what I mean? She was working with them as a credible institution.
See, I'm not, well, she's credible, but I'm not saying she doesn't know.
That's what I'm saying. She thought they were credible.
See, I'm not saying we don't know. I don't think we know that. She, you know, because I don't
on,
think
she was
that.
So lily white. I didn't see her being like, oh, y'all are crooked.
White people are not always lily white.
I think
she
knew. No, but with this woman, I don't think. You think she knew?
I think she knew what was going on.
I think she knew, too.
Really?
I mean, I could honestly, right at this point, it could go either way, because we didn't see enough of her to really know. And
right.
I feel like her whole, I think it was too strategically planned with the noise outside and then the break in
right.
and then how the person kind of came in talking about whatever. So, you know, it's white mobs too, girl.
No,
so, you know
course,
what I'm saying? So, no, I mean, I'm not saying it like that, but I'm just saying that we didn't see enough of her. We just saw that one thing of her. And of course, she seemed perfectly lily white then too.
Right.
I agree with you.
Right.
But we didn't really see enough with her before she got taken out.
Well, right. See, I thought she died shortly after Duda said, oh, Toussaint wants a fish, we'll give her one.
But that was Brandon.
No,
I think
it's still.
Brandon. And I was wondering, I was like, okay, is it her or Brandon?
No, it's definitely Brandon.
I think it's definitely Brandon.
But even if they give her, I mean, I guess it's in prediction, but even if they give her Brandon, it's going to lead them right back to Perry.
No, but remember when Duda went to visit his boss in jail?
Yeah.
And that's when he was like, I guess we need a fish. Their whole thing was about Brandon, and that's why he came up with the gifts and all the rest of that. I don't know, just as you guys said, I saw her, but I guess that's the reason, that's what they wanted us to see. I saw her portrayed in a certain light, but I think you make a very valuable point. She could have known all along. She could have her own motives.
Yeah, we just didn't see enough of her either way. We really have no idea, but right. Whatever. I love me white people, but they could do anything. So I don't know. It could go either way on her, I definitely believe. So we close out with Toussaint's son getting, attacked.
Yeah.
And that was tough. How did you guys feel on that? In that moment,
I was surprised at her reaction, but then I really wasn't. Like, she's always been tough love. The one time that we saw her interact with him, she went in there with tough love. Like, she loves her son, obviously. That seemed very apparent. But at the same time, she wasn't giving him no cut cards. Like, I'm not backing down. I'm not coming in here with a soft heart. Like, just know that you put yourself in here. So it was I was unfortunate to hear that happened to him, but I was a little surprised that her reaction wouldn't be a little softer. You know what I mean? Like, one teardrop or something. That's your kid.
Right. What do you think, Lauren?
I definitely didn't think she would cry. Not in front of them. I think she was going to deal with it internally or on her own time. She kind of looked like in shock and a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
And I feel like she probably wanted to cry, but not in front of them.
Right.
But also, I guess my thought process is kind of like, are you really surprised? You're going out after one of the most, notorious gangs in the city.
Exactly.
And you didn't think your son would be touched at all.
Right.
So.
Good point.
I just think this is just going to make her push harder. Like, this isn't going to make her chill out. So if 63rd is ready for that heat, just know this is going to make Toussaint crank all the gears.
Absolutely. I was like, this is a war declaration, and she be ready to catch that smoke. That's it. She's going to come as hard as she can. And I agree with Lauren. It was interesting, how they got in contact with her through her job, through her her superiors. Like, you can't break down and cry like that, even at the office, really. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that, it would have been interesting to see her show more softness, but I know she can't punk out because they'll probably want to take her off the case. Mm-hmm. So, there was kind of a lot of things she was kind of going through at that moment, but I think it's going to fire her up to, come even harder. All right, you guys. So that's our episode this week. So next week Shonda. Is the big finale. Yay. Okay. So next we're going to move on to our special segment, which is brought to you today by Lauren.
What's up, guys? So for our special segment this week, I chose Shonda Rhimes.
Oh, and just so that we know, you guys, not to interrupt, it's called the Chi-Town Spotlight, in case you guys are wondering.
Yes.
Okay.
So I chose Shonda Rhimes because she is a powerful Black woman. She is a writer, producer, and like I said, she is from Chicago, Illinois.
Showrunner.
Yes. She is well known for her show Grey's Anatomy. She had a spinoff, Private Practice, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. I could go on and on. She has so many shows on ABC, but now she has signed a deal with Netflix, and it's said to be entered into a multi-year development deal with Rhimes. So all of her future productions will go as Netflix originals. And she published books. I just feel like she's an amazing role model for all, not even just people of color, everyone. Right. She started off on shows like, with Dorothy Dandridge all the way back in 1999, working on those. She co-wrote a movie for HBO introducing Dorothy Dandridge.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah, and I actually won some Emmys.
I read that book, and Halle Berry did her thing.
Exactly. So she's been working forever, and just to see her business, Shondaland, that's her production company, just expand the way it has and empower all these amazing Black actors as female leads. So that is who my spotlight is. There's so much more, but we're running out of time, so I want to get to news and gossip.
Okay. So for news and gossip.
Yes, news and gossip this week.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so obviously we talked about, Jason Mitchell being off the show. But now Tiffany Boone is starting to, kind of speak out a little on social media, just thanking everyone for their support. She did a handwritten letter to, all of the support she's received and posted on her Instagram page. She didn't say too much. She hasn't really talked about the allegations or anything, but she just wants to know everyone. She feels really loved and she appreciates all the support. And actually the Shy Show put like heart comments on it. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then next we have, let's see. Oh yes, MTV. So Jason Mitchell was actually nominated for Best Performance in a Show in the upcoming 2019 MTV Movie and TV Awards for his role in The Shy. MTV just revoked that nomination. So unfortunately, it's still bad news for him. Like we said, obviously, thoughts and prayers are still going out for him and everyone involved in this whole situation. But and then as you guys know, next week is the season finale.
That'll be it, you guys. All right. So one more episode to go. So before we get out of here, let's do some rapid fire predictions.
Nicole. Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm going to say it again. Brandon and Jerrica are going to get married. That's going to be their way to get written off the show. Honestly, now, I think since Reggie publicly beat up the track coach and people saw there were witnesses, I think now Duda is going to either punish him or they're going to do something to Jake because they made Jake get in the car on the Knicks. You know what I mean? The Shy. So there are going to be some repercussions for Reggie in the season finale. Unfortunately, Emmett's going to get tied into this whole, free food thing. And then hopefully, Ronnie goes to AA.
I think Emmett is definitely going to get pulled in, and it saddens me to think about it, but I think that he's going to be suffer the consequences of being not shrapnel. What's the word? When there's casualty, like he's going to be a casualty of war, so to speak. This is something that he welcomes. Obviously, it's not even his bag, but it's inevitable that he's going to be a part of the mix.
I don't think that baby is Emmett's. And also, I feel like Kev... I think Kev is going to go to that school. I think he's going to go away and, try to be in an environment that has more rigor.
I agree. I think that they actually are going to, I think Toussaint is going to pursue the idea of flipping Brandon and having Brandon wear some sort of wire with a Duda and whatever. And I think that's him and Jerrica are going to have to go into witness protection. That's how they're going to get out of the show. I think, once they're gone, Emmett is going to then become the new Brandon, and Reggie is going to be trying to run drugs and stuff through Emmett.
Oh,
those are my predictions,
that's
people.
A good one.
Nice. That is good. That's a good one. Yep.
That's kind of what I think. And I don't know, Toussaint or Cruz, I'm sure we'll lose a cop by the end of it. All right, you guys, thank you so much. That has been our show. Thank you for joining us.
Yay. And thank everyone in the chat, too.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you guys for commenting. We love you guys. So, folks, where can they find you? Starting with Lauren.
You can find me on all social media at Lauren. Lauren the Truth.
You can find me at Kitty Kaboom on IG. That's all that really matters.
And you can find me at Chef_Beans with a Z everywhere.
All right, you guys, I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Thank you guys so much. See you next week for the finale, people. Ciao for now.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.